Good to see everyone out this morning. We appreciate you being with us. We have visitors. We always love that. Hope you can stay around a little while and get a chance to meet you, get to know you better. And, of course, our was 55 and above group. Hope you stay and enjoy today's meal. The decorations are awesome. The old 50s diner. I am in the 55 group, but I wasn't alive in the 50s. But it looks amazing. I don't know who did all the decorations. I know there's multiple people involved, but amazing. An amazing job last night. Had a lot of fun just fellowshipping and eating. Wow, too much food. Quick reminders on Honduras. February 25th, your second payment's due of $250. Copies of passports, ASAP. And if you noticed, our table has been moved because we're going to have multiple things happening over the next couple of months. We've got the baby bottles. We've got a food drive coming soon. So we put the Honduran table underneath the missions bulletin board just through those doors. And I've also put copies of the Amazon wish list because I've had people say, I don't do Amazon. I don't do computers. So the wish list is there. It shows what the item is and how much it costs. And so if you want to still do the wish list, you can give the money to Jenny or myself and just circle which one you're wanting to purchase, and we'll take care of it for you. But I've made copies so you can take one of those with you if you would like. All right, well, here we go. It's that time of year again this week. And we're in February, the month of love. Notice how they put the month of love, the shortest month in the calendar. You'd think we'd do a little better than that, but nope. It is February. We celebrate Valentine's Day to show the people that we love how much we appreciate them. My theory has always been, if this is the only day you show your appreciation to the people you love, you need to work on that. That should be a 365 thing. But did this February, young men, if they say, oh, it's okay, I don't want anything, that's a lie. You better get them something anyway. You will be in trouble. Young married men, same thing. She might say that. It's not true. Get her something anyway. Just to make sure that everything stays kosher in your relationship. Well, when you're talking about love, we know there's four types of love in the sense of the original Greek words. Eros, that passionate or intimate love. There's philia, which is brotherly or friendship love. Storge, or as one kid said in my one time when I was studying, storage love. I don't know what they're storing, but that's your familial, your that family kind of love. But agape is the one that we really want to look at and talk about because it's an unconditional love, period. It might be your spouse or your children, but it may be your fellow Christian. And, of course, it is the type of love that God gives to us. And that's what we want to look at, really, to me this morning, is what is true love? Remember the quote from an old movie, Wove, Twu Wove. And some of y'all know what I'm talking about. And of course, if you think back, and last night I couldn't help it because people were talking about when they got married and how long they've been married. And I remember ours very well. You just overflowing with love that day. It's like, when I saw her coming down the aisle, it's like you feel like your heart's going to explode. And you think, you'll never love somebody this much or any more than this. And yet, as you get older, you realize you do. You get deeper in love, and the love gets stronger. You may have those relationships with friends that they're not just a friend. They're family. And you love each other like family. And you can't really say they're just your friend because that relationship, that bond is so close. And, of course, it may be with your children or your grandchildren. There's so many ways that this love can grow in your life. But we want to look at what God's example and definition of love really is. Because I've often said, I don't think our society today understands what true love is. True love, it's serious. When you look at the concept of an unconditional love, it means what it says. You don't put any, well, I'll love you except under this condition, or I'll love you unless you do. It's unconditional. No matter what struggles you're going to go through in that relationship, again, whether it's marriage, friendship, parenting, doesn't matter. No matter what struggles, you're saying, I'm going to be there. And that's what true friendship is. That's what true love is. But the only way to understand me, true godly love, is to look at the examples we have. Read just a moment ago, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God loved us so much, he was willing to give his only Son. And as a parent, I'm here to tell you, I can't comprehend that. That he had so much love for us. And that Christ had so much love that he was willing to leave heaven, his home, come down here. He's leaving a place that's perfect. No pain, no agony. He's not aging. He's not going to hurt. And come down here and have to deal with all of that. On top of that, have to deal with the emotional pain and distress and the hatred that he's going to have to face from certain people. And eventually, a horrible death. Now, how can you say there's any greater way to show love than God and Christ have done? We just literally sang the song, "Greater love hath no man than to lay his life down for a friend." And Jesus himself said, "I am your friend if you do whatsoever I command you." And he proved it when he went and he died on the cross. But the Bible also tells us that God demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Well, you're saying, well, of course that's why Christ died. But what it really is saying is while we didn't deserve it because we were sinners, we didn't deserve Christ to do this, but God gave him to us anyway. That's the key. While we were yet sinners, while we did not deserve the gift we were about to give, God loved us so much, he gave it to us anyway. And you say, well, then why did he do it? Because he knew we needed it. Have you ever done something for people that you love, not because they asked for it, not because they even realized they needed it, but you knew that it was something they needed. And so you did it. That's what God did for us. Because he loved us, he looked down and said, you know, they don't deserve this, but they need this. And so he gave his son for us. In Deuteronomy 7:9, it says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments." So whether we're talking about in the Old Testament, New Testament, in this area, God has not changed. You know, we all change over time. Who I am today and who I was 20 years ago, two very different people. I took probably 20 years ago that colors thing, you know, where it tells your personality. And I took it last year and that total different ending of the person I am today versus who I was then. Some of those areas I'd say I'm stronger, I'm better. Some of those it's like, well, I wished I hadn't made that change. That's not really good. But that's what happens in our lives. But God, it says, never changes. And when it comes to his love, to 1,000 generations. In other words, it's offered to all of us. From the time of Deuteronomy to today, he's offered the love of God to those who love him and keep his commandments. Let's go into our next ones. We'll get more in depth of our end of this. But 1 John 4:7-8, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God." Wow, we could stop and have the rest of the sermon on that statement. You've heard sermons from me talking about outside how there's just not the love in our society. And it's because God is not truly in our society. Love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God because God is love. We can't claim to be a Christian and not show love to the world. Why? Because we're claiming as a Christian that God is within us. His Spirit's there. God's in our life. Christ is in our life. And then we're going out and we're showing hate. There's a lie somewhere. But he's saying if we truly love God and the love of God is in us, then we're going to show love. And when you stop and look at the example we have from God in Christ and what it means to show love, we're talking true sacrifice. What are we willing to give up for someone? What are you willing to give up for your spouse, that closest, dearest friend, for your children? You know, you grow up and you look back, and when you're kids, you don't see your parents' sacrifice. You don't. You're bebopping around just doing your thing, but you look back, and you do. You realize the things that they did, sacrifices they made to be there for you, and you realize that they truly loved you. But so often when we're young, we don't see it. I know my mom and dad loved me, but we don't stop and see it. And I think sometimes we've done this with God in our life because we get so busy and we're bebopping around, oh yeah, I know God loves me. But we haven't stopped to really comprehend what that statement means. That God loves me. Jesus loves me. That little song that we've sung since little kids. Why do we teach that to little kids? Because we want them to understand how much God and Christ love them. And yet we get older and we tend to forget ourselves. Maybe we need to sing that more often. And remind ourselves how much God loves us. Continuing reading in the same book, 1 John 4, look at 9 and 10. This is how God showed His love among us, that He sent His one and only Son into the world, that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. You ever fought with somebody, maybe like your Jenny and I do this? She'll say, love you, and I'll say, love you more. She'll say, love you most. Love you to infinity. We're arguing over who loves each other the most. But I'm here to tell you that no one has loved us more than God. No one has shown us that love more than God in Christ. Again, He sent His only Son to come down to this earth. Just the fact that He had to live 33 years in the world at that time was sacrifice enough. But He went to the cross as well. He was willing to die so that we might have a hope. A hope. The reason it's a hope is because when Christ died on the cross and He came up out of the grave, God had done His part of our salvation. The hope means, all right, the opportunity's there, but you have to take it. We have to go, and notice what it says, to those that love Him. We've read that actually multiple times. Salvation is there. Heaven is there for those that love God and will keep His commandments. It's a hope because we have to make the decision of whether or not we're going to do that. And it's not just a one-time decision. Well, Greg, when I was such and such age, I was baptized, I made that decision. That does not get you an automatic ticket to heaven. What it means is from that day forward, you're going to constantly grow in your love with God and with Christ. And you're going to constantly strive to sacrifice by giving up whatever we have to on this earth to obey God. I bet most of you could sit here and think of that person, hopefully you already have in your mind, or somebody you truly love. Like it could be a spouse, it could be that friend, it could be brother or sister. That's usually not the case, but could be. Have you ever sacrificed for them? I guarantee you have. Whether it was Jenny having to sacrifice and watch one of those dumb sci-fi movies with me, or whether I have to sacrifice and watch one of those goofy Hallmark movies with her, we sacrifice. We go and do things that maybe we don't want to do, but because the person we love wants to do it, that's where we go. That's what we do. Because we love them. When it really gets down to the nitty-gritty, though, God has defined love. Now, we call 1 Corinthians 13 the love chapter. It's really, it wasn't intended to be love. It's about conflict they had within the church. And God is trying to explain, you can't have this concept and love. You can't do both. If you love each other, these things are not going to be a problem. But see, sometimes what gets in the way of love is pride, arrogance, what we think is knowledge, which sometimes it's not, it's maybe foolishness. But those things get in the way of love. We can't be selfish and selfless at the same time. So in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul writing to the Corinthians to let them know this is what love is. And this goes with best friends, married couples. It really doesn't matter. If you say, I love someone, here's your definition. Love is patient. I love how that's the first thing that's on there. Because it is. Love is willing to go through whatever is necessary, forever how long it's necessary, to be with that person we love, whether it's sitting there at the hospital or whether it's taking care of them after a surgery or an injury. It doesn't matter. We're willing to do that. Love is kind. It's showing kindness to people. And sometimes, just like God gave us an undeserved love, sometimes we have to show undeserved kindness to people. They may not seem to deserve it, but they need it. And so we share it. It is not jealous. And that's an easy one to say, but sometimes, especially when we're younger, that's a hard one to fight, isn't it? Jealousy. But when you truly love someone, you're not jealous anymore. Because that relationship has a bond that you know can't be broken. And so that should take the worry away. Love does not brag. It's not arrogant. Those two go together. Well, it depends. I brag on my wife all the time. But if our arrogance is constantly bragging on us and what we're doing in that relationship, that's not true love. We're doing things for the wrong reasons. We can't be arrogant with love because why? Love is selfless. So that means we have to put our own thoughts, desires to the side and love. It does not act disgracefully. It does not seek its own benefit, and it is not provoked. These things deal with all sorts of... We don't act disgracefully. What does that mean? To disgrace that person we love, the relationship we have, we want to bring honor to it, respect. And that's why it goes on and says it doesn't seek its own benefit. As a relationship, there's two people that are involved, at least two. And if we truly love the person, we're going to put their needs before ours. God, see, has this perfect way things work. If I'm loving the people around me and I'm trying to do things and help them, I'm not having to worry about myself. Why? Because all those people are looking at me and they're loving me and they're trying to do things that I need. And all of a sudden, all of our needs are taken care of. I didn't have to worry about me at all because I know other people are taking care of me. Which should give me the opportunity and time to do what? Try to take care of somebody else or be there for somebody else. It's not provoked. I see and hear on television all the time of domestic violence. I can't comprehend it. I can't understand you saying that I love this person and yet getting anger to a point that you beat them almost to death, and in some cases, they actually do kill them. Brothers and sisters, that's not love. Young people, you get in a relationship that people are abusive to you. They can tell you they love you all they want. They don't. Get out of it. If you need help, come. There's plenty of people here to help you get out of it. But if they love you, they're never going to intentionally and willfully hurt you. Physically, mentally, or emotionally. Continuing on, it does not keep an account of wrong suffered. Ladies and gentlemen, we cannot look back at life and say, yeah, well, I remember 10 years ago when you... and still hold it against them. You should be able to move on. In some cases, maybe even look back and kind of laugh about whatever occurred. But it shouldn't be held against the person. You may never forget it. But if we forgive it, then it's just out of the way. It doesn't get thrown back up in somebody's face 1, 2, 3, 10, 20 years later and still judge them for it. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness. If you love somebody, you're wanting them to go to heaven, brothers and sisters. It's that simple. And when we see somebody we love that's not doing what they ought to do, then if we love them, then we need to talk to them. Because the people I love, I want to be in heaven with me. So love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but it rejoices with the truth. It keeps every confidence. You know, Alan this morning was talking about eldership and things that they... We all have that. We all go to each other at times and we talk to each other about private things, and we have to keep that. Jenny and I even have a thing where if she's met with somebody, I'll just ask, is there anything I can do? If it's something that's a secret that they don't want, it's in confidence, she'll say, not at this time. And I know to stop asking questions. It's okay. And she knows the same of me. That's just become our little way that we know that, okay, that's a private thing, and they don't want me involved in it right now. And you know what? That's not an insult. It just, they've put the trust in that individual. And that individual needs to keep the trust if they truly love them. Continuing on, it keeps every confidence, it believes all things, it hopes all things, it endures all things. And here's the big one, love never fails. True love never fails. These people that say, well, I love you today, and a year later, oh, I don't love them anymore. I've fallen out of love. I can't stand them. There was a problem with true love anyway. When you see people who've been married 50, 60, 75 years, what you're seeing is an example of true love. Talk to those couples. Has it been a breeze? If they tell you, oh, yeah, everything's been fine, they just lied to you. No, life is going to get in a marriage just like it's going to get in an individual. If it gets in one of those individuals in that marriage, guess what? Both of them are going to deal with it. That's true love. But it endures, it hopes, it believes. Brothers and sisters, that's the love that God has shown us. That's the example He's given. So when you tell somebody you love them, we all sometimes fail in that. I have plenty of times through the years, unfortunately. But this is still our goal. This is what we're shooting for. When we, in our mind, think, I love this person, this is what we're striving for. And then finally, never be ashamed of loving somebody. Never be ashamed of showing God's love. In Galatians 2:20, it says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Is that not a beautiful verse? That's why they turn it into a song. You know how hard it is to read that verse and not sing it? But who loved me and gave Himself for me. If you're not yet a Christian, remember we talked about earlier that hope. When Christ died on that cross and He came out of that grave, He had done His job, and yet He's still up in heaven today speaking on our behalf. But it's kind of hard to speak for on our behalf if we've not loved Him enough to obey the gospel and be baptized into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. That's what the Bible tells us. This morning, if you're ready to do that, we're also ready. Come forward, be baptized. The angels in heaven will rejoice, and so will all of us. And start learning about what the love of God in your life can do. And if you are a Christian, you know, we can only help if we know what the problem is. So maybe it's time to share. If you want to share this morning with all of us, that's awesome. Come forward. If not, find that person here you can trust and go talk with them. Let them help you. I guarantee you there are plenty of people here that'll be there. But you've got to give them the chance. So this morning, if we can serve you as a congregation, will you come as we stand and sing?